Chapter 17. The hotel was in a historic six-story building not far from the Colosseum. The suite they had rented encompassed nearly a quarter of the top floor and had a wrought iron balcony that wrapped around the outside walls. Kyle was still in a chemically induced stupor when Max pushed his wheelchair into the sumptuous entrance, but he could tell by how his son muttered that he was no more than an hour or two of coming awake. "Hello?" someone called from deeper in the suite. "Hello," Max replied. "Dr. Jenner?"
"Yes, that's right."
Jenner stepped into the foyer from the living room. He wore a dark charcoal suit with a faint stripe and white silk pullover. Max noticed that he also wore thin leather gloves and that his hands were curled unnaturally. Max couldn't pin down the psychiatrist's age. He had a full head of hair with only a few streaks of gray and a tanned face that looked like it could have had some cosmetic work. There were traces of wrinkles around the eyes and mouth, but they seemed to have been smoothed out surgically. For what Jenner charged for his deprogramming services, he could afford the best plastic surgeons in the world, but his face had that startled, deer-caught-in-the-headlights expression so common with inferior cosmetic work. It was an incongruity of little importance, but Max was still surprised by it. He held out his hand. "Max Hanley." Jenner held up his own gloved hands.
"You will forgive me if I don't shake. My hands were burned in a car accident when I was younger."
"Oh, certainly. No problem. This is Eddie Seng from the company that rescued my son. And this is Kyle."
"Pleased to meet you, doctor," Eddie said.
"Sorry we couldn't tell you the name of the hotel until you arrived in Rome. Operational security."
"I quite understand."
Jenner led them into one of the suite's three bedrooms. They settled Kyle, wearing a hospital Johnny, into the king-sized four-poster and closed the heavy drapes. Max ran the back of his hand along his son's jaw. His eyes were a sea of love, pain, hopelessness, and self-incrimination.
"We'll bring him back,"
Adam Jenner said, doubtlessly having seen Max's expression on countless parents over the course of his career. Back in the living room, the French doors leading to the balcony were opened, so the sound of Rome's notorious evening traffic was a background hum. Over the roof of the apartment building across the street, they could see the towering travertine walls and arches of the city's most famous landmark. With seating for nearly 50,000, the Colosseum was as large as any modern sports arena.
"I trust things went smoothly," Jenner said.
He had a trace of an accent Max couldn't place, almost as if he was raised by parents who didn't speak English.
"Actually, they didn't," Max told him.
"Really?
What happened?"
The eyes, too, Max thought. There was something about them. Behind Jenner's stylish glasses, his hazel eyes seemed strange. Max could usually read people's eyes in an instant and tell what kind of person they were, but with Jenner, he got nothing.
"The responsivists now employ armed guards," Eddie said when Max didn't respond.
Jenner settled into a plush sofa with a sigh.
"I've been afraid this day would come.
Tom and Heidi Severance have been increasingly paranoid in the past few years. I guess it was inevitable that they would start keeping weapons.
I am truly sorry. I should have warned you of my growing suspicions."
Eddie dismissed Jenner's concern with a wave. "None of my people were hurt, so it isn't a big deal."
"You are being too modest, Mr. Seng. I've been in combat, so I understand what you've been through."
Vietnam, Max thought, putting Jenner near his own age. Mystery solved, and he felt better for it. "So how does this work?" he asked.
"Normally, we would hold an intervention with Kyle's friends and family to let him know he has the support he needs to break away from the responsivists. However, in this type of situation, I will need to speak with Kyle alone for the first few sessions. It's going to be quite a shock when he wakes up and realizes what's happened to him."
Jenner gave a wan smile.
"And it's my experience that shock turns to anger very quickly."
"Kyle's not violent, if you're concerned," Max assured him. "Unlike his old man, the boy doesn't have a temper."
I usually prescribe something to keep subjects calm anyway, until the shock wears off. He waved one of his gloves at a side table where an old-fashioned black doctor's bag was perched next to an arrangement of fresh flowers.
How many people have you helped, Doctor?
Please, call me Adam.
Well over 200.
All successful?
I wish I could say yes, but that's not the case.
I've had a handful commit suicide, and even more return to the cult.
It's sad, really. People get sucked in by what they perceive to be the good works of the responsivists, but it's only when they have been there for a while that the group begins to exert more and more control, especially by making its members lose contact with their loved ones. Once that happens, it is sometimes difficult to get them to return to their real lives.
Why do people let it happen? Eddie asked, but he already knew the answer. It was the same in Chinatown when he was a kid. The pressure to join a gang was intense, and once you did, they never let you go.
Loneliness? A sense of disconnect from the world?
The responsivists make them feel they are part of something much larger than themselves, something important that can give them meaning. It's pretty much the same symptoms that lead others to drugs or alcohol, and the rehabilitation is similar. So you have successes as well as failures. According to his mother, Kyle's been involved with responsivism for only a few months. So I think he should be okay.
Duration has nothing to do with it, Jenner countered.
It's how deeply he has allowed them to poison his mind. I had a case once where a woman had been going to responsivist meetings for only 2 weeks when her husband became concerned and hired me. She ended up leaving him and is now the secretary to the director of their Greek retreat where you rescued your son.
Patty Ogdenburg. Funny how you remember the names of your failures, but never those of your successes.
Max and Eddie nodded in unison. They had shared many of each together.
I'm curious, Eddie said into the gathering silence. How does someone as successful as Donna Skye get mixed up in something like this?
Same as everyone else. Just because she has awards and accolades and an entourage doesn't mean she's any less lonely than anyone else. Oftentimes, celebrities are more estranged from reality than most and are easily swayed. Out in the real world, she's mobbed by fans, but within the organization, she's just Donna. And yet, her fame helps recruit new members all the time.
I will never understand any of this, Max groaned.
Which is why you hired... Jenner spoke in a bright voice to lighten the somber mood.
You don't need to understand it. All you have to do is be ready to show your son how much you love him.
Do you know anything about a responsivist center in the Philippines? Eddie asked to change the subject. Jenner paused to think about the question.
Not specifically.
I wouldn't be surprised if they had family planning clinics there, but...
No, wait. That's right.
There was talk about them opening another retreat. I believe they have bought land someplace, but nothing's been built. Or very little, anyway.
What about leasing a cruise ship?
You're talking about the Golden Dawn.
What a horrible tragedy.
I suspect that is what they call a sea retreat. They have done that a number of times over the past couple of years. They often lease out an entire ship, or book at least half the cabins, and hold meetings and discuss the movement. I went on one just to see what it was all about. It seemed to me that it was a recruiting tool to get at lonely widows still flush with their late husbands' pensions.
Jenner stood. I should go check on Kyle.
When he was out of the room, Max crossed to the sideboard where bottles of liquor were lined up like soldiers on parade. He splashed some whiskey into a cut-glass tumbler and indicated to Eddie if he wanted one too. The former spook declined.
This isn't a mission, Max said, taking a sip. You don't need a teetotal.
Just the same.
So what do you think?
I think we hit the jackpot with him. He certainly knows what he's dealing with.
You?
I agree.
Linda did a great job finding him, and I'm sure that Kyle will be fine. Thanks for babysitting us, Max said, but there was much more behind the words.
You'd do the same for any of us.
Max's cell phone purred. He reached into his pocket for it. The caller ID read, Chairman. We're here, safe and sound, he said by way of greeting.
Glad to hear it, Cabrillo replied. Was Jenner there?
Yes, Eddie and I were just talking about how lucky we feel to have found him.
Good.
How's everything on the Oregon?
I just got off the phone with Langston. I think I need Julia to install a colostomy bag, because he ripped me a new one for driving the ship through the Corinth Canal.
Little angry, was he?
Oh, my friend, angry was not the word.
Through back channels, he's trying to convince the Greeks it wasn't some terrorist plot to destroy the canal. They want to call out NATO, for heaven's sake. Max winced.
What did I tell you about you and your damned plan C's?
Juan chuckled.
If any future operation requires a plan C, you can have my resignation.
I heard that, and Eddie's my witness. Cabrillo turned serious.
How's Kyle doing?
He'll be coming out of the drugs pretty soon. We'll know then. You've got a whole boatload of people pulling for the both of you.
This has been tough, Max admitted.
A lot tougher than I had realized.
He's your son. Even if you two aren't close, you still love him. Nothing changes that.
It's just that I'm so angry.
No, Max, you're guilty.
Two separate things, and you've got to get over it or you won't be able to help him. Life happens the way it happens. Some things we can change and some things we can't. You just have to be smart enough to know the difference and act accordingly.
I feel like I let him down, you know?
And there isn't a parent in the world who doesn't feel that way about their kids at some point in time. That's all part of the process. Max digested what Cabrillo said and nodded. Realizing Juan couldn't see the gesture, he grudgingly said, You have a point.
It's just tough, I know.
Max, when we're on an op, we plan out every detail, every possible contingency, so we're never surprised. And even then we get thrown curbs. Think about trying to do that in the other parts of our lives. It's impossible. You're doing what any good parent does. You're there for Kyle now. You can't say that this would or wouldn't have happened if you'd been around when he was growing up. Just deal with the here and now, okay?
You're gonna make a hell of a father someday.
Are you kidding me?
Juan laughed.
I know how rotten the world is. I wouldn't let a kid out of his bedroom until he was at least 30, and even then I'd only let him go as far as the fenced-in yard.
Where are you guys now?
Almost due south of you. We'll hit the Riviera late tomorrow night and have full surveillance of the arms dealer in place by the following morning.
I should be with you.
You should be with Kyle. Don't worry about anything. Take all the time you need, okay?
Okay. Eddie gestured for the phone. Hold on, Eddie wants to talk to you.
Juan, I was talking with Jenner and he mentioned the responsivists have hired cruise ships in the past.
And?
Could be a wild goose chase, but it wouldn't hurt to have Eric and Mark cross-reference those voyages to see if anything weird went down.
Not a bad idea.
Anything else?
He said there are rumors they are building a new retreat in the Philippines. If there was something like 400 responsivists on the Dawn when she sank, I think they're further along in construction than Dr. Jenner knows.
Might be worth checking out.
Two for two, Cabrillo remarked.
Jenner stepped out of the bedroom, closing the door behind him. In a stage whisper, he said,
Kyle's coming awake. I think it's best if you two leave us for a while.
He went to his medical bag and withdrew a cylindrical object about the size of a soup can.
This is a locking device that goes over the suite's doorknob so it can't be opened from the inside.
Juan, we have to go, Eddie said into the phone and cut the connection. Max was on his feet. For how long?
Give me your cell phone number and I will call you. Probably an hour or two. Kyle and I will talk some, and then I will administer a sedative.
Max looked at the closed bedroom door and at Jenner, conflicted about what was right.
Trust me, Mr. Hanley. I know what I'm doing.
Okay. Max jotted down his number on a piece of hotel stationery. He let Eddie lead him out of the suite and into the richly paneled elevator vestibule. Eddie could see the concern in Hanley's face, even in the distorted reflection of the polished brass doors. Behind them, they heard Jenner slipping the clamshell lock over the doorknob.
Come on, I'll buy you dinner.
I think I'm in the mood for Italian, Max quipped, to show he wasn't totally out of it.
Sorry, mate. Chinese food or nothing.